Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Cheryl Fax. And thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight. In this 15-minute segment, we're going to be empowered, we're going to be encouraged, we're going to be even comforted in the fact that we're in a process that God has ordered, predestined, preordained for his glory before time, that we might be proven, that we might be stretched, that we might be imparted in and empowered with the truth of who he is. So as we live day by day in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, growing and maturing, we become that which is necessary for someone else to see. We shine brighter and brighter. We become the light that sits on a hill. We become the salt that they are thirsty after, that makes them thirsty after God, that keeps them thirsty. And we become all that God has called us to be for his glory. And we have an overcoming testimony in the power of God, the faithfulness of God, as we prove him and know that he will do exactly what he said. We've been studying in the book of Esther, and the topic is an unlikely place of blessing. And we've been looking at the fact that God chooses unlikely places, places that we think are chaotic, places that we think can't be the place of God's blessing or God's release, that he chooses that place that makes us uncomfortable, that unfamiliar place, that place that doesn't look like it can bless us, to be the place of our blessing, the place of our testing, to be the place of our blessing. And we see here that not only does Esther become blessed in an unlikely place, but Mordecai also becomes blessed in an unlikely place. But you have to understand that the place of your blessing is also the place where you're going to find an enemy who's going to hate the blessing of your life. You're going to find an adversary who's going to come against you because of the blessed place of your life. They're going to hate you, and they won't even know why, but we understand it's because of the God in you, the God that has anointed you, crowned you with his blessings, the God that has commanded his favor on you, the God that has opened up a door that no one else can open and given you an opportunity or space or time that no one else could ever give you. So they're going to hate you because you're in a position that they feel like is equal to them that you do not deserve. That is the case with Haman, with Mordecai. Yes, there is a history there that Haman is from the Amalekites, and Mordecai is from the generation or the descendants of Saul, but yet and still there is a godlike character or attitude that is displayed in Mordecai, because Mordecai will not fall down and bow down and worship Haman, which is what he wants. He wants praise. He wants someone to praise him. He's self-absorbed. He's selfish. He's prideful. He's self-centered, and yet he still does not recognize the fact that he's dealing and messing with God's anointed, but he will later on. And what we see is, and the blessing of Mordecai is this, in this unlikely place, is he hears, as he's in the king's gate, a plot to kill the king. He tells Esther, who then announces it to the king, gives Mordecai his the king Mordecai's name. It's all written down in the Chronicles, but yet nothing has been done. And there are times in our lives that God will do what he tells us to do. We will obey him, and the blessing or the reward of what God has promised does not show up that instant. It shows up later. The Lord allowed the king not to be able to sleep. He allowed him not to be able to get rest during the time that the decree to kill the Jews had already gone out. And Mordecai had tricked the king into making it him think that it was about him, that he was protecting his kingdom, he was protecting him from people that were hostile, when really it was all about his hatred over one man that wanted to kill and annihilate that whole race. So we understand that there are people that will come against us, that will hate us for the name of the Lord, but they will use swift tactics and rules and regulations and laws to get rid of you because of something you said. It could be a preacher that's on TV. It could be an evangelist in the community. And they will get together with those who are in power to write laws to get rid of that person using tactics that are inclusive to everyone, but it's really about them. And they're said that they're infringing on everyone else's rights or everybody else's liberty, but yet you're infringing on mine because I still have the right to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I still have the right to tell of his goodness and to live a life that's holy. I still have the right to stand against the things that or oppressive to the gospel or against the gospel of Jesus Christ. I still have that right. That is my right as well. So we see that that's what Mordecai has done. And when the king finds out after the Chronicles have been read that nothing has been done with Mordecai and no reward has been given, Haman is coming to the king at that very hour because he's had a conversation, and the conversation that he has had has been with his wife and people around him talking about how good he is, how wonderful he is, and yet here's this Jew who he hates, who he can't stand, who basically opposes him, and he wants to get rid of him. They instruct him and said, go to the king, tell him to give you the head of Mordecai. On his way there, after he's built the gallows, he's had gallows built 75 feet tall just for the execution of Mordecai. Your enemy is going to go to the extreme to try to destroy you. But know that the weapon that is formed against you will not prosper. And the trap, the pit they've set for you, they're going to fall in it themselves. You have to trust and depend on the word of God because we do not have time to go around and see who all of our enemies are and to deal with them. But God knows each and every one of them. And he knows exactly how to allow the same weapon that they have formed against you because you are living and doing what is right, honorable before the Lord, to be the trap of their life, the entrapment that they fall into, the place that they are destroyed, their demise. So we have to trust the word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to do what we cannot do, going in to do the very thing that we cannot even comprehend and do it in such a way that the enemy's weapon goes back on him. So we see that Mordecai's coming in. He's asking, ready to ask the king how he can get rid Haman's coming in, I'm sorry. Haman is coming in trying to ask the king how to get rid of Mordecai. And the king is saying, who's out in the gates? And he wants to know because he wants to do something for Mordecai. The Lord will cause the person that you least expect to bless you, someone in authority, to promote you because of what you've done. He'll set up someone who you least expect to give you a blessing and do it in such a way that what you did in private, your private obedience, your private sowing, your private just doing whatever he said, servitude, is going to be rewarded openly. And that's what happened with Mordecai. Haman gives him the idea, tells him what he should do because he's so prideful, he thinks the king is going to do it for him. He is so prideful that he can't see that it could be about someone else. He is so vain that he cannot see that someone else could deserve an honor such as what he's describing that should happen. And that's what happened when you have pride in your life. You can't see anything but yourself. You cannot see beyond yourself and what you feel like you deserve and what you feel like should happen to you. So we see that the king takes Haman's advice and gives Mordecai exactly the reward of what he's already thought of, and yet he is still angry. He is so very angry when he goes back and he tells them what happens. But the thing that happens is, and he has an engagement to go eat dinner with the king and the queen. And so when he goes to tell his wife and the rest of them what has happened, she advised him and tells him that his destruction is going to be behind the Jews. She lets him know, she prophesies to him and tells him that this is going to be his demise. She gives him the understanding that if he continues on this path, that it's only going to be destruction. Your enemies will not heed the advice of someone who's telling them what their end result will be. They will continue to do what they feel like they have to destroy you. But understand and know that God is God. If he is for you, if he has a destiny for you, if he has a plan for you, you're going to do what he says, and the enemy is not going to get or take you off of the place that or the position that God has you on. You have to believe that God is working for your good, and he's going to cause every enemy of your life to be put under your feet. There will be a table that is spread. They will watch you eat. They will watch you manifest and materialize the things that God has said, and they will not be able to stop you from receiving what God has set before you. And that is what you hold on to. As we see, Mordecai is then given the reward of his choice and his son. But it's because they did it God's way. I'm Pastor Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me for Save a Life, the process of there. I pray that you've been encouraged in your walk of faith and that you know that every enemy around you is going to fall, that they will not stand, that God will put every enemy under your feet, even, the word says, Satan, in a little while. So be blessed. Have an encouraging day, and we'll pray that you'll see us tomorrow at the same time. God bless you.